Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I'm profoundly grateful that you chose to be with me on this 23rd day of February 2020. We're going to look at the conclusions we come to, and we come to some pretty interesting conclusions that may have nothing to do with the reality of anything, and this may be the beginning of our suffering, as it were. We'll talk a little bit about that. I want to thank you not only for listening. I want to thank my listeners for their interest in the program, those of you who write in and send me emails. You can email me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire, aspire.org. I would love to hear from you, any of your questions, concerns. These are always very important things to me, and I want you to understand if they're important to you, they're going to be important to me. It's just the way it is. And I want to also, of course, as always, thank my sponsors who make all this possible. Without their gifts, their contributions, their kindness, I would not be sitting here in my little studio and being able to offer to you what I do. This is really a very important thing that I get to do, to be in the public, serving humankind in this way. And they are also responsible for my ability to go to hospice and work during the week a few times a week. And that is a very interesting thing. So thank you all. Just want to say that before we begin. What is a conclusion? What is it that we come to? According to the dictionary, a judgment or decision reached by reasoning. That's a conclusion. So what if the decision I come to that is reached by reasoning is, shall we say, slanted, maybe the hint of preferential thinking, maybe even prejudice? What if the decisions I come to maybe aren't that bright, and I just do it because, you know, it's easy to do, and I can do it with a no-brainer? What conclusions have you come to about your own life? Whatever these conclusions are, they're going to be the circumstances and the conditions of our lifetime, and all of them have some sort of kickback in our life, some kind of kickback where we get to see our conclusions and what we've come to in our own circumstance, in our own conditions, in our karma. Can I say that to you? Can you understand that? Conclusions bring about karma. And I've seen people make some pretty foolish conclusions about many aspects of their life. And when you look at the conclusions they've come to, you ask yourself, what kind of, well, in this definition, reasoning or logic did they use to get to a conclusion where they absolutely destroy some part of their life or bring upheaval to some part of their life? I had a student, oh my God, the stuff that rolled out of his mouth, you would have never have known he was even attempting to make a spiritual practice. And wherever he's gone, whatever he's done, the conclusion is that he brings havoc to everything, and consequences that aren't very healthy, but he does it anyway. And to this very day, he's still doing it, and he never learns, and he thinks he's pretty smart, but you know. So let's go to the questions here and maybe understand conclusion, what it means, and actually what it is impulse. And we'll look at that. I've come to the conclusion that we are all so evil. This is from Grace in Whittier, California. I don't know what to do with the rest of my life. I am afraid of people. Grace. Grace, I understand. I truly do. I understand what you're talking about, how you arrived at this conclusion. I do understand. It is a part of the survival mechanism that we all share in this world. How do we live with people who make conclusions, who make a judgment or a decision that is reached by their own reasoning and not be affected by it one way or another? We are all affected by each other's conclusions, which is another word for probably judgment. Some kind of judgment that I have made that seems logical and theoretical to my life, which makes me believe that whatever I'm doing is right and proper and whatever. Whatever I want to think it to be. And we come to these judgments, these decisions, these conclusions based on the way we were raised, based on our genetic disposition, based on our fears, which come from our DNA, our survival mechanism. All of this, of course, is not what we would call rational, but it is theoretical and it is very common in human beings. So what are we to do? Well, to answer that question, to really answer that question, you have to understand there are conclusions and there are conclusions. To come to a place where I have concluded that someone is evil or bad is to take a look at the conclusion I've come to within myself. I have to look at what the proportions of my judgments are. What are they trying to point out? What are they bias about? And if I understand the basic bias of my own prejudice, my own fear and my own prejudice in that fear, I will set forth some insight into what I need to do to change the momentum of my life. And our lives have a momentum based on the conclusions and judgments we've come to. Have you ever looked at your life, just looked at it, without the need for it to be good or bad or right or wrong? Just look at your life for a moment and see the totality of it. Not the events and the circumstances that happened, not the conditions that maybe you live in, but just to look at the events of your life and put them aside and look at the totality of your life. What is the significance of this lifetime? What is it that makes for significance in this lifetime? It's a very interesting thing. It's a very interesting meditation to do. Grace, if you're going to overcome this fear, which I hope you make it an effort to do and make it a priority in your life, you're going to have to start looking at the totality of your lifetime and what that means. What is that totality? What are we talking about here? What is the totality of why you are here? The meaning, the significance of why you are here. What is that totality? Most people don't want to look at that. So if you look at the totality of your life, you will find either what you have made significant or what is significant. If you and I look at it from the point of view of what we have made significant, then we look at it from petty points of view that we were raised with, conclusions of our childhood. We have, you know, beliefs in our own grandeur or beliefs that we're not enough, that we're failures, low self-esteem. We have both. So when you have made a judgment or a decision about your life, about the totality of your life, about the meaning of your life, what reasoning do you use to live in that lifetime, to live in that way? Well, typically it's the hope that you're going to have a better life. And that's what most people are looking for, just a better life. Recently, I did a commentary on wanting a better life through spiritual practice and how futile that is. So I don't, you're probably not reading my commentaries, Grace, and I understand why, but you have come to conclusions about what your life is, wanting a better life, wanting this to happen, wanting that to happen, not wanting that to happen, not wanting over there to occur. Everybody has conclusions they've come to about their life and how it's going to be lived. Any of these conclusions only show our misunderstanding about our life, our misunderstanding about our living, our misunderstanding about what is important. The significance of a person's life is held in their willingness and/or their ability to live mercifully. That is the sum and substance of it all. Grace, you say you've come to the conclusion that we are all evil. Sounds pretty pessimistic. I understand we all have evil in us. There is the light and the dark in all of us. There really is, and I understand that. But don't participate in either. The light of the human mind is nothing more than information and knowledge. And the darkness of the human heart is that of vengeance and pride and greed. So maybe there is that ability that you still have to see the totality of your life, the whole bigger picture. If you do that, love will reach you, and you will see it is love that makes a life worth living. Maybe you should go take a look at my series, A Life Worth Living, on the website at aspire.org. It would probably help you. Really, it would. It's based on Socrates' great teaching. An unexamined life is not a life worth living. And it must be examined. Really, it has to be looked at. People don't like that. Anyway, thank you for your question. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Amy. She does not tell me where she lives. I am sure that we all self-destruct at various levels. I have found myself melting down in places in my life I had not counted on. What does this mean, Amy? Well, Amy, without knowing the details and just assuming that you're like most of us, I would probably say the meltdown has to do with your level of survival, worrying about surviving and not having maybe enough whatever, money, career, whatever. You're starting maybe to realize the conclusions you've come to about your life, and you're starting to realize the decisions you've made. I really want you to look at this just for a moment. This is really hard for people to do. What conclusions have you come to about yourself? What conclusion did you come to about how your life was going to look and what the meaning of your life was going to be? What conclusions have you come to about yourself that you are never going to want to change or never question? These are very important things that all of us must look at when we're looking at ourselves, when we're beginning to understand the decisions that we've reached based on the conclusions of fear or hate or genetic disposition, which is the same thing as fear and hate, but that's what we come to. And over and over and over again, we come to these things without ever questioning, why did I come to this decision? Why didn't I come to that decision? We never take a deep and profound look at it because we don't want to see our faults. We want to think that we're okay, that we can cover up these faults if we need to and not worry about, you know, what's going on or what we're doing or who's doing what or whatever. We just want to ignore it all and think that by ignoring it, it'll all go away. It won't go away. It just won't. And if you're a person who is willing to take a deeper look and then make a change, that would be a lovely, lovely thing to do for yourself, to let love live you. This is the only antidote I know. But first, love must be achieved. And to achieve this love, I must be willing to no longer do the following things. Act and react from my emotionality, based on the assumption that my emotions know what is best for me. Now, you must understand that, based on the idea, the assumption that my emotions know what's best for me. Once you have understood that, or that has become clear that they do not know, then you no longer act and react from an emotional premise. The whole idea of coming to conclusion about anything now looks fundamentally ridiculous to us, and we just don't do it. We live in accordance with love. Now, how do we find that love? We come to the core of ourself. And in the core of you, the deepest core, there is that place where love resides. The object of meditation is not an object. There is, if you put an object there, you know, and think, okay, I've got to achieve this through meditation, you have absolutely destroyed the meditation. It can't be done that way. The effort in meditation is to become effortless. It is to let go of conclusions that I have come to about my life, about myself, about the world, and just sit in the totality of it all. We make decisions, conclusions, about everything from the moment we get up in the morning to the moment we go to sleep. And even sometimes in our sleep, we're making conclusions about what is good and bad and right and wrong. And we're missing the whole blooming thing. We miss the meaning and the substance of our life. So if you sit in meditation quietly, if you can, Amy, and you start to realize how self-destructive you say you have been, or the world has been, or whatever, you can do something other than that conclusion and never come to it. To live in your own, shall I say, authority, your own love, the love that you can feel deep inside you that is beyond the Amy part. Now, if you do something like this, you will start to awaken. This will be very annoying to the ego, to the vanity, to the pride of Greg and Amy. But if we work on it, if we can no longer judge it or reach a decision, an absolute, and this is where people really go wrong in meditation, they try to make absolutes out of their meditation, absolute peace, absolute love, absolute contentment, whatever. They want to reach a goal of conclusion. In doing that, they dismiss the whole effort of the awakening, of the vastness of not knowing. That which we don't know is one of the most beautiful things a person can come to. It is derived out of the heartbeat, the breath, just watching the breath go in and out and feeling the heartbeat in your body and the consistency of it. If you can put your attention on that, all of a sudden, without any effort on our part, without any conclusion, we come to a place where we unfold, where we bloom, we blossom, we bliss out. And all of a sudden, this whole lifetime takes on a new form, a new measure. It is no matter who you are, what you've done, you are not coming to a conclusion anymore. You're not looking at your life as being concluded, done. You are looking at it from not a decision that is reached, a summing up of an argument you're having with yourself about your life. You're actually looking at life not from circumstance and condition, but from the premise of the vastness of life itself. It's called love. And that's why I say, let love live me. Let love live you. I have people I have known. I had students that had kids. And these kids would hear their parents that work on themselves and say, you have to let love live you or live me or whatever. And the kids absolutely resented it because people want conditional love, not unconditional love. And for there to be unconditional love, there has to be a condition to the unconditional. And one of them is to drop the conclusions and judgments and decisions we have come to that keep us tethered and subordinate to human love, human emotion. Amy, good luck with your life. I hope that you can meditate and learn how to meditate. It's one of the most blessed experiences you will ever know. Please, please forgive me. Namaste. Last question from Ryan. He just says he lives in California. I believe in fear, and now more than ever, it is the only way anything gets done. How can you teach love in the face of this world of fear? Ryan. Ryan, what are you afraid of? I mean, what can they do? Take your body? That's the worst they can do? You know, I suffer grievously from the conclusions I've drawn about myself and about others. I have created out of those conclusions circumstances and conditions and frets and all sorts of problems that don't really matter. In the moment that I leave my body, all these things will disappear. I've always found it very helpful for myself in my own practice to realize that anything death can take away is not authentic. It is not the reality. So I live as though I have died. I don't live in the premise of right and wrong, good and bad, or who's done what and who's done this and the least and the most. And I don't do that. I live in the place where conjecture of conclusion no longer is important to me. The only thing that is to come into the clarity of a maturity. The clarity of a maturity of kindness, compassion, and mercy. All goodness follows mercy. So I'm going to give you this little quick insight. It's no biggie, but it works. All of your goodness will be based in the mercy you can muster up from within yourself. The more merciful you are, the more you will find the goodness of your heart reigning supreme in your life. And you will never have to worry about situations and conditions of who is right, who is wrong, who is good, who is bad. You will never have to worry about that. All you will have to be focused on is love. And love is not a conclusion, a condition, a circumstance. It is not something that you're being punished for, although your ego won't like it. Real love, authentic love, is what occurs when you are no longer imbibing the conclusions you have come to about yourself and your own life. And when you are without judgment and a decision reached by reasoning, according to the dictionary, about love, you will have come to the place where the authentic can come and maturate in you, can come and formulate consciousness within you. It is all about sitting quietly, wanting nothing with all of your heart, as the Buddha said, and finding the way, the truth, and the light. I'm out of here. Thank you, Ryan, for your beautiful question. I hope it helped. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there we are, another weekend. I hope it helped. I really do. Have a beautiful one. Talk to you next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.